This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Julianne with the March 15, 2024 edition of the Week Junior US. And in this week's big news, Alexei Navalny is mourned. On March 1, thousands of people gathered in the streets of Moscow, the capital of Russia, to mourn Alexei Navalny. The leader of the movement against the Russian government died in a Russian prison on February 16 at age 47. What happened? The services for Navalny were held at a church and nearby cemetery with his parents and close aides in attendance, as well as officials from other nations, including the U.S. and France. Outside, large crowds of mourners showed their support for Navalny, who gained worldwide recognition for criticizing Russian President Vladimir Putin in a country where it is illegal to speak out against the government. The mourners, who traveled from across Russia to attend and risked arrest for being there, tossed flowers and chanted "Freedom for Russia" and "Love is stronger than fear." Nearly 270,000 people watched a live stream of the funeral, and another 150,000 watched on YouTube. News reports indicated that Navalny's widow, Yulia Navalnaya, and the couple's two children could not attend the service because they live outside Russia, where it's safer for them. Who was Alexei Navalny? Navalny was born in 1976 near Moscow. He was a real estate lawyer before becoming an activist who called out government corruption, which is using a position of power for personal or political gain. He accused Putin of stealing Russia's profits from selling oil and called the country's leaders swindlers and thieves. Navalny took significant personal risks to build an opposition movement, which had the slogan, "Russia will be free." He survived assaults and a near-deadly poisoning and was arrested multiple times. He had been in prison since 2021 and died at a prison known for its brutal conditions. Why is his death significant? Putin tightly controls Russia and the information Russian citizens receive in the news and online. His government is said to control as much as 70% of Russia's economy, and he has been accused by world leaders of denying people's human rights and bringing harm to those who oppose him. Navalny was Putin's most vocal opponent in recent years, including in 2022, when Russia invaded Ukraine. Russian authorities attributed Navalny's death to natural causes, but Navalnaya said that the Russian government was responsible. Many world leaders, including U.S. President Joe Biden, have also blamed Putin. How did people react? In response to Navalny's death, the U.S. and European Union, or EU, a group of 27 nations, announced harsh economic sanctions or penalties against Russia. If Putin does not pay for the price of his actions, he will keep going, Biden said. Navalny had encouraged Russians to not give up if he died, and since his death, at least 400 of his supporters have been arrested at memorial sites in 39 Russian cities. Among them was a priest who intended to lead a memorial service in the city of St. Petersburg. Another 128 people were arrested on March 1 for activities related to Navalny's funeral. What will happen next? Putin is up for re-election this month, but other world leaders have said the election will not be legitimate because most of his opponents have died or been imprisoned. In speeches before world leaders and in a video address posted online, Navalnaya has vowed to carry on her husband's work opposing Putin. In the video, she said she wants to live in a free Russia and added, "I call on you to stand with me." The information bubble is, did you know? Russia is the largest country in the world, covering an area twice the size of Canada, and extends across Asia and into Europe. And the sidebar is Vigils for Navalny. Vigils honoring Alexei Navalny have been taking place in cities across the U.S., including Miami, Chicago, and New York. In Sacramento, California, hundreds of people gathered on March 1 to remember Navalny and protest President Vladimir Putin. The area is home to many Russians and Ukrainian immigrants. Next, Sweden is set to join NATO. On February 26, Sweden was approved as the 32nd nation to join NATO, or the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, a military alliance. The move came after Hungary, which had withheld approval for Sweden for nearly 2 years, gave the go-ahead. Sweden and its neighboring country, Finland, applied for NATO membership after Russia invaded Ukraine in 2022. NATO nations are allied against Russia's ongoing war and protect one another from similar acts of aggression. All NATO countries must unanimously approve new members, but Turkey and Hungary refused to admit Finland and Sweden because they had disagreements with those nations' governments. After months of negotiations, Turkey and Hungary approved Finland's membership in March 2023, and Turkey approved Sweden's in January 2024. Hungary was the final holdout on Sweden. Swedish Prime Minister Ulf Kristersson said, "Joining NATO lets his country defend our freedom, our democracy, and our values together with others." After an administrative process, Sweden will formally join NATO later this month. And now, a new record for Caitlin Clark. Weeks after becoming the all-time leading scorer in the NCAA, or the National Collegiate Athletic Association, Division I women's basketball, Caitlin Clark of the University of Iowa broke Pete Maravich's record for the most points scored in Division I basketball history. She hit the milestone on March 3 in a win over Ohio State University in the last regular season home game of her college career. Clark announced on February 29 that she will play professionally next year. Clark needed 18 points to pass Maravich's record of 3,667 and reached it at the end of the first half after making two free throws. She had 35 points in the game, finishing with a career total of 3,685. Maravich set his record at Louisiana State University from 1967 to 1970 when there was no three-point shot in college basketball. Clark surpassed Kelsey Plum's NCAA record of 3,527 points on February 15. Clark has played for Iowa since the 2020 to 2021 season. In 2022-2023, she led her team to the NCAA Championship Final and was named Player of the Year. Fan excitement this year has been huge. Iowa season tickets sold out for the first time, and ticket prices for the Ohio State game hit a record high. "It's a great time for women's basketball," said former player Lynette Woodard, whose non-NCAA women's record of 3,649 points was broken by Clark on February 28. Iowa will play in the Big Ten tournament starting March 8 and is expected to have a top seed in the women's NCAA tournament. "The biggest thing is I've just had fun," Clark said of her college career. "I've loved every single second." In the information bubble is Top Pick. The Indiana Fever are expected to choose Caitlin Clark as the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft on April 15. The word of the week this week is record, R-E-C-O-R-D. The term record has many different meanings, but all of them look back to a Latin word meaning heart. Recordare in Latin means to remember or to learn by heart. A record of an event is a means of remembering it, just as a video recording creates a memory or an account of something. A sporting record is a remarkable achievement. In this week in history, on March 14, 1942, Ann Miller became the first person to be successfully treated with penicillin, which was a new medication at the time. She had blood poisoning caused by a bacterial infection, and the penicillin saved her life. Today, penicillin continues to be used to treat bacterial infections, such as those in the ears and throat. It is estimated to have saved more than 200 million lives. In the how-to section, we learn how to write your own poetry. Express your thoughts and feelings in an imaginative style. Poetry is a creative way to express your ideas and views in words. Many writers enjoy poetry because there are no real rules to writing a poem. Even so, there are some useful guidelines that can help you write poetry. Here's how to get started. Keep reading. The best way to become a better writer is to be a reader first. Reading poets' work can help you explore what kind of poetry you might like to write. Ask a teacher for recommendations or visit a local library and ask a librarian to guide you to the poetry section. Some books about poetry to check out include Swimming Upstream, Middle School Poems by Christine O'Connell George, Honeybee by Naomi Shihab Nye, and Soccerverse, Poems About Soccer by Elizabeth Steinglass. Pick a subject. When thinking about what to write, you can start by observing what's around you. You could also spend some time thinking about what you love. It can be anything from a sport you're passionate about to a memorable place you visited. You can also draw inspiration from ideas and subjects that matter to you, such as animal rescue or protecting the planet. Consider different types of poetry. Common styles are rhyming, free verse, and haiku. With rhyming, you can make the first line rhyme with the second, the third line rhyme with the fourth, and so on. With free verse, you can rhyme or not rhyme at all. Start writing. Keep a small notebook or a note on a device dedicated to jotting down your ideas. Write down anything that strikes you, from colors to smells to sounds. From there, you can start writing your poem. Once you have a draft ready, you can put it away for a day. Then read your poem again and make any edits until you're happy with it. Share it with someone. After you finish your poem, read it to a family member, a teacher, or even your pet. Saying a poem out loud can bring it to life. And the information bubble is fun fact. The longest poem in the world is an Indian poem called the Mahabharata, and it is 1.8 million words long. The sidebar is three types of poems, so we go into more detail. The rhyming poem, a poem that rhymes, uses similar sounds in words, for example, cat and sat. The most common rhyming poem rhymes words at the end of a line of a verse. Free verse. Free verse doesn't have a typical structure. For example, instead of rhyming, lines of free verse can more closely resemble the rhythms of everyday speech. And finally, haiku. Haiku is a Japanese form of poetry. The first and third lines of a haiku have five syllables, and the middle line has seven syllables. A syllable is a single sound of a word. For example, reading contains two syllables, read and ing. Now we move to animals in the environment, where we learn that sea otters save coastal marshes. A surprising hero has come to the rescue of California's salt marshes, which are wetlands near ocean coasts, according to a new study. Sea otters are saving the day by stopping crabs from damaging the habitat. The study used decades of data collected at Elkhorn Slough, a salt marsh in Monterey County, California, that is home to the state's largest sea otter population. During the 18th and 19th centuries, sea otters were hunted for their pelts, or fur coats, and almost went extinct. Since laws were created to protect them, their numbers have steadily grown. They returned to Elkhorn Slough in the 1980s. Salt marshes support a wide variety of wildlife, soak up carbon dioxide, which is a gas that contributes to climate change, and prevents pollution from washing out to sea. But they are a threatened habitat, partly because of rising sea levels are causing erosion, which is a gradual wearing away due to natural forces. Erosion at Elkhorn Slough has begun to slow down, however, and the scientists suspected this was because of the sea otters. To measure the otters' effects, the researchers collected observations on the ground and used aerial photography to see how the salt marsh had eroded over time. They also conducted experiments, allowing otters to settle in some places, but blocking them from others. In areas where there were many sea otters, erosion slowed by an average of 69%. Study co-author Brent Hughes said otters slow erosion by feeding on shore crabs. These crabs dig down and eat the roots of the plants that hold the marsh together. If left unchallenged by predators, they would fill the marsh's banks with holes, like Swiss cheese, Hughes said, making the banks unstable and easy to wash away. Luckily, sea otters eat more than 25% of their body weight daily and love the taste of crab. As otters returned, the holes began filling in and the banks became stronger. Restoring the marshes would have cost millions of dollars, said researcher Brian Silliman, but otters are stabilizing them for free in exchange for an all-you-can-eat crab feast. And the information bubble is otter pockets. Sea otters often stash snacks and small rocks inside pouches of loose skin under their arms. And the sidebar is help for kelp. Kelp, a type of seaweed, grows in underwater forests that shelter many different plants and animals. Research found that for more than 100 years, kelp forests have thrived best in areas where sea otters live. This is probably because otters feed on sea urchins and other species that can harm the kelp. Next, dog breeds that live the longest. Researchers in the UK have uncovered new details about the lifespan of dogs. Using data from 584,734 dogs, the scientists looked at breed, size, gender, and face shape. They found that small and long-nosed dogs tend to live the longest. The results showed that the average lifespan of all dogs was about 12.5 years, with female dogs living slightly longer than males. Smaller dogs with longer noses, such as miniature dachshunds, had an average life expectancy of 14 years. Larger dogs with shorter snouts, such as French bulldogs, had an average of 9.8 years. This could be partly because many flat-nosed dogs have breathing problems and other health issues. The breed that lived the longest was the Lancashire Heeler at 15.4 years, while Caucasian Shepherds had the shortest life expectancy at 5.4 years. Next, researchers want to explore why certain dogs live longer. This provides an opportunity for us to improve the lives of our canine companions, study author Kirsten McMillan told The Guardian. The animal of the week this week is the Thresher Shark. Using 3D scans, experts have shed light on the Thresher Shark's unusual hunting methods. The sharks contort their bodies using their long tails to attack and stun their prey in what one scientist called extreme yoga. They live 19 to 50 years in temperate and tropical oceans. They grow up to 20 feet long, eating squid, octopus, and shrimp and fish. And the fun fact, Thresher sharks may be large, but they are shy and harmless to humans. The Ask an Expert question is, what is the average lifespan of a crocodile? Crocodiles in the wild can live between 30 and 70 years. This huge gap exists because a crocodile's lifespan depends on its species and habitat. Smaller species live 30 to 40 years, and larger species can live 60 to 70 years. The species that lives the longest is the saltwater crocodile. Now we move to science and technology, where the first article is A Hidden Ocean on Saturn's Moon. Researchers believe they have found evidence of a hidden ocean on Mimas, one of Saturn's major moons. This discovery could provide insight into the origins of life in our solar system. Saturn has 146 moons orbiting it. The biggest is larger than the planet Mercury, while the smallest is about the size of a sports stadium on Earth. Mimas, which was first discovered in 1789, is about 250 miles wide. Experts used to think Mimas was mostly made out of solid ice and rock. In 2014, astronomers noticed its orbit around Saturn was wobbling. A wobbly orbit can happen if the core of the moon is shaped like a football. It can also be caused by a huge liquid ocean beneath the moon's surface. At first, many astronomers argued against the idea that Mimas had an ocean because there's no sign of one on its surface, which is crusted with ice. To investigate more thoroughly, researchers looked at images taken by Cassini, a NASA spacecraft sent to study Saturn, and NASA is the U.S. Space Agency. The images showed that the moon's orbit around Saturn drifted by about 6 miles over 13 years. The team's calculations found that the only way Mimas could move in this way is if it had a hidden ocean under the surface. They believe the ocean formed when the moon's core warmed up and melted some of the ice, and estimate that the water is about 12 to 18 miles beneath the surface. Mimas is one of the many moons that scientists think could have oceans below the surface. Ganymede, which orbits Jupiter and is the largest moon in the solar system, has more water in its ocean than all the oceans on Earth. Titan, another of Saturn's moons, is believed to have a salty ocean under the surface. the existence of an ocean means the moon could have conditions needed to support life. The major finding here is the discovery of habitability conditions on a solar system object, which we would never, never expect to have liquid water, said Valerie Laney, an author of the study. It's really astonishing. The ocean on Mimas might not be old enough for life to have emerged there yet, however. It took hundreds of millions of years for life to develop on Earth, and the ocean on Mimas is relatively young, less than 25 million years old. And the information bubble is, did you know? The day Saturday and the planet Saturn are both named after Saturn, the Roman god of agriculture and wealth. And the sidebar is, our moon is shrinking. Earth's moon was created after a planetary collision more than 4 billion years ago, which generated a huge amount of heat. As the years pass, the moon is slowly cooling. According to a new study, that cooling is causing the core of the moon to shrink. Some scientists estimate that the moon has shrunk about 160 feet in diameter over tens of millions of years. The shrinking is causing the surface of the moon to develop creases, the same way a grape gets creased when it shrivels into a raisin. The creases are causing landslides and moonquakes that can last for hours. This could be a problem for future robotic rovers or humans living and doing research for long periods on the moon. Space agencies will need to consider the safest place to set up a base. The next article is Trivia Champion Conducts Memory Study. Monica Thiau won the Jeopardy! College Championship in 2012 when she was 18 years old. Now she conducts research on trivia experts at Emory University in Georgia. In a recent study, she found that experts like her are good at remembering not just facts, but also where and how they learned them. For the study, Thiau and her colleagues had participants of various trivia skill levels take a Jeopardy! Audition test. About half of them qualified as trivia experts. Next, participants were given virtual tours of museums with exhibits on subjects like dinosaurs. The exhibits featured placards of information on a topic and photos related to it. After the tours, participants were quizzed on how many facts and photographs they remembered. Those who had been labeled trivia experts were more likely to remember a fact if they also remembered the photo they were shown when they learned it. This suggested that the memory of seeing the photo helped them recall the facts they learned at the same time. The ability to remember facts is referred to as semantic memory, while the ability to remember events is called episodic memory. In trivia experts, it appears that these two kinds of memory are closely linked. Thiau and her team said that researching trivia experts could be useful for developing a better understanding of how those two memory systems interact. And the information bubble is wow. In 2022, Matea Roach, age 23, won 23 straight Jeopardy games and was the youngest person to have a top 10 winning streak. Next, the world's tallest spoke-free Ferris wheel. A new Ferris wheel in South Korea's capital, Seoul, will have no spokes and will be the tallest of its kind in the world. Called the Seoul Twin Eye, the structure will be 590 feet across and have two intersecting rings with 24 pods that can hold 25 people each. Because the structure will have no spokes, it won't rotate like a conventional Ferris wheel. Instead, the rings will stay still and have tracks built into them. The pods will move along the tracks. Riders will have a bird's-eye view of the Han River. The design is inspired by the Hongcheong Sige, a 17th century astronomical clock that has been named a national treasure of South Korea. The rings also represent unity. The Seoul Twin Eye will be built on top of a massive building. Construction is set to begin in 2025 and will take about 3 years to complete. The amazing invention is a food source made from animal bones. A company in Finland has created a paste made from animal bones that can be added to meat products. Superground grinds up fish or chicken bones, which would typically go to waste. The material is briefly heated to a high temperature, then ground again into a paste. The paste, which has extra nutrients like calcium, is added to foods such as chicken nuggets or fish sticks. that increases the amount of the food by up to 40%, feeding more people without using any more meat. Reducing meat consumption is better for the environment. In the sports section, there was an exciting win for USWNT at Gold Cup. On March 2 and 3, the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Women's Gold Cup took place at BMO Stadium in Los Angeles, California. Canada, Brazil, Mexico, and the U.S. all advanced to the semifinals on March 6. CONCACAF is the regional governing body for North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. The Gold Cup is an important event as teams prepare for the Olympics this summer. After a surprising loss to Mexico in the group stage, the USWNT, U.S. Women's National Team, entered the quarterfinals seeded or ranked fourth. On March 3, they faced fifth-seeded Colombia and won 3-0. All the goals came in the first half, and they were scored by veteran Lindsay Horan, Jenna Neiswanger, who was making her fourth USWNT appearance, and young star Jaden Shaw, who has now scored in all three of her starts for the team. The USWNT goalkeeper Alyssa Nayer made three saves to hold Colombia scoreless. In earlier quarterfinal action, Canada, the top-seeded team, beat 8th-seeded Costa Rica 1-0 in overtime, and 2nd-seeded Brazil beat 7th-seeded Argentina 5-1. In the most thrilling game of the weekend, 3rd-seeded Mexico beat 6th-seeded Paraguay 3-2. Mexico was up 2-0 in the second half, but Paraguay scored with less than 30 minutes to play. Mexico scored 5 minutes later. Paraguay made it 3-2 3 minutes after that, but Mexico's defense prevented them from scoring again to tie it up. The semifinals were set to feature the U.S. against Canada and Brazil versus Mexico. The championship match is scheduled for March 10. And the information bubble is wow. The U.S. is the first country to have 3 female goalkeepers who have played in more than 100 national team matches each. We'll finish up with around the world. In Tokyo, Japan, 2 new marathon records set. New course records were set in the men's and women's races at the Tokyo Marathon on March 3. Benson Kipruto of Kenya won the men's race in 2 hours and 2 minutes and 16 seconds. Satume Asafa Kabide of Ethiopia won the women's race in 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 55 seconds. Tokyo is one of the world marathon majors, the 6th most prestigious marathons in the world. In Mexico, a volcano erupts. The Popocatépetl volcano, located about 50 miles from Mexico's capital, erupted 13 times between February 27 and 28. It spewed ash into Mexico City and led to flight cancellations, but officials said there is no immediate danger for the 25 million people who live in the area. Popocatépetl is considered the most dangerous active volcano in the country and erupts regularly, but has not been a major eruption for more than 1,000 years. That's all the time we have this week for the March 15, 2024 edition of The Week Junior. This is Julianne, and have a great week.